run out of things to say anyway. And that's not unusual with prayer, because prayer's a rather funny thing. And Jesus looks to address this in a couple of places in the New Testament. He does it here in Matthew 6 that we're just about to look at, and he also does it a bit later on in Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, he's answering the prayer. He's answering a question from the disciples, which is saying, "Lord, will you teach us how to pray?" And so he teaches them how to pray. And one of the things that I think happens with that is we quickly misinterpret what he's saying to mean, oh, right, here's a little poem he wants us to say. And as long as I've said my poem, I've prayed. But when you look at it in context, that's not quite what he's saying. So the context is Matthew chapter 6, right at the beginning, he says, He says, don't practice your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, don't pretend to be religious and be terribly, so that everybody can see. Say, oh, what a wonderful religious person that person is. Aren't they good? And he goes on, and then he goes into verse 5, and he starts talking about prayer. I wonder if you can put that up for me, please. So this is now from the New Living Translation. If just a second, we'll get there. I don't want to start because I've got the ESV in front of me. And so this is Jesus speaking. He says this, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. They love it. They love to pray where everyone can see them. You probably don't know anybody like that, but I can imagine what that person would be like. That person, in my little mind, when I read that, will be wearing a rather magnificent dress with lots of embroidery on it. And it'll be a man, obviously. It'll be very big. And he'll have a big hat that probably sticks up in a very big hatty kind of way. And he'll have a stick that'll be very big, so it's not a walking stick. And on his stick will have some kind of hook or cross or whatever it is they put on big sticks. And he would pray magnificently in a deep timbre to his voice, as though he was an opera singer. O Lord, I do beseech thee, whilst thou art in heaven, that thou should render the heavens and come down upon us mere mortals. And he'd be very, very impressive. And we'd look at him and say, wow, what a guy, can't he pray? But really what's going on in his head is, aren't I great? I'm good at this. I can probably get a rolling R in here. A roll my R. Yes, I've got that in. That's good. That'll impress them. And Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Don't just pray where everyone can see you. He says, actually, they'll get you a reward because everybody will look and say, aren't you wonderful? And Jesus says, when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Now again, I don't think he's saying you can only ever pray in a room with the door closed. He's contrasting it with the big public display. Okay? And he said, hey look, get alone with me, or with your Father, beg your pardon. Hey, come on, if you want to pray, let's you and I have a chat. Let's you and I have a conversation. Meet with your Father in conversational chat. It's not a big display. It's not meant to be a big opportunity for you to show off how wonderful you are and how you can use very large words. It's meant to be a conversation with your Father. And then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Well, how's he going to reward you? Well, I think there's two rewards going on at this point. One is an eventual ultimate reward, and one is also an immediate reward. Your Father is going to listen to what you say. Listen to what he's going to listen to you. God, who made heaven and earth, gives you the very breath that's in your lungs, says, hey, I'm going to listen to you.
Now, I'm looking at Natalia right now. I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to listen to Natalia very much. But God is saying, I do. I really want to listen to what she's got to say. I want to hear what you're saying. Wow. God wants to listen to you. So then he's saying, so therefore, when you pray, don't just babble on and on like the Gentiles do and like Andrew does when he's preaching, because they think that their prayers will be answered just because they keep repeating the words again and again and again. No, it's not meant to be a babble. It's meant to be a conversation. It's meant to be a chat. It's meant to be an opportunity for you and your Father in heaven to converse. And so don't just say stuff, which is my default position, quite honestly. I just say stuff. Say, no, come on. It's a conversation. Concentrate. Have you ever spoken to someone where they asked you a question and you start answering it and then you realize they've drifted off somewhere else? Has that ever happened to you? Sorry? 100 times a day, Sam, the rest of you apparently never happens to you. You're just looking at me. Oh, I've never had that experience. Although some of you have wandered off, so that's kind of... Yes, hang on a minute, where are you going? I thought we were having a conversation. Don't just babble on and just say words. That's what the Gentiles do. Maximum number of words means maximum number of attention. No, it doesn't. So he says, don't be like them. And then he says this really interesting thing. He says, because your Father in heaven knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Now, I often struggle with this. If he knows what I want, why does he need me to ask him? Okay, why am I bothering then? It's because he's not after your shopping list. He's after your attention. Do you get that? Have you ever, some of you have got children, have you ever had a child come up to you and you think, I know exactly what they want? They are about to say, please, sir, can I have some more? More screen time. More screen time. There we are. You see? John did it. Now, as a wonderful father, John, what you do is you think, here's an opportunity to interact with my children. Here's an opportunity to pay them attention and to enjoy their presence. That's exactly what you do, isn't it, John? Yes. Because you're a qualified teacher. You know these things. See, now I know what you're going to say. But your Father in heaven doesn't want you to not say it just because he knows what you're going to say. Actually, he wants to delight in conversing with you and to meeting your needs or to telling you why it's not appropriate right now, which is where John would probably land always. And so Jesus is saying, that's what I want you to do. We want to pray. This is what your prayer is supposed to be. It's not meant to be this thing that impresses. It's not meant to be a gabble of words. It's not meant to be a repetition of words over and over again. So it's not meant to be just say your Lord's Prayer poem and you've done your job. That's not what it's meant to be. Well, what is it meant to be? Well, funnily enough, Jesus goes on to tell us. Verse 9, he says, pray like this. And at this point, I hand over to James.
Thank you, Andrew. Great. So, I think normally when we get to this point when I'm preaching, it becomes time for the shopping bag of surprise. We're nearly there. Can we have the next slide? There should be a picture. Just a picture. Right. I'm getting to the point in my life where I'm beginning to realise that I am very old. I do all the things that I have always done. It just hurts more. Now, kids, I could do kids. If you're old enough and able to move, do you want to come and just sit down on the front row? Because I want to just ask you about life being a kid now. Or more, tell you about... Right, come here. Come and talk to me. I'm not scary. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. We'll get to this in a minute. Now, when I was... How old are you?
I'm nine.
How old are you?
Three.
3. Okay, when I was a bit younger than 3, probably 2-ish, and sort of learning to talk and vocabulary coming together and all the rest of it, it was the late 1960s. Now, that is a very, very, very long time ago. Very long time ago. To give you an idea of how long ago it was, we had no computers in our homes at all. No devices. A telephone was plugged into the wall, not to charge, but so that it could receive a phone call. And we had a thing called a television, which took about 5 minutes to warm up. Mind you, that's not unusual, because that's how long it takes a phone to boot up these days. But it takes about 5 minutes to warm up. And when it did warm up, there was probably 3 television channels that we could watch. That was it. And on television, there was about 3 children's programs. That was it. And one of those children's programs, I think is still going, was a program called Blue Peter. So who remembers Blue Peter, if you're from the UK? Right, okay. Any of you young kids watch Blue Peter? No, not on the radar at all, thought so. So anyway, it was a brilliant program. Now, Blue Peter had pets, and one of the things that they had as a pet was a tortoise. Do you like tortoises?
Yes.
Good. You don't like tortoises. You do like tortoises. Now, I, as a 2-year-old, thought tortoises were really, really cool. Really, really cool. So this is the Blue Peter tortoise from the kind of 60s and 70s. Tortoises live a long time. It was originally called Fred until they discovered it was a girl. And then it became Frida. And they painted an extra A on the edge of the thing. Now, who would like to see inside my shopping bag of surprise? Right. Here we go. Would you like to see inside my shopping bag of surprise? Okay, you can get it out then. Right, go on. What's in my shopping bag of surprise? You have to get it out and show everybody. It's a tortoise. This is my tortoise. From when I was 1.5 or 2. I went up into the loft this morning to find this, and it was there still. This is my tortoise. Now, I really like tortoises, and so I had more than one. So could we have the next slide, please? Right, this tortoise I had, and when you pushed it along, its head went in and out, which is really, really cool. Now, maybe later. So this tortoise, when my dad brought it home, my immediate response was, it's a Jesus tortoise. My dad was like, what? I said, Jesus tortoise. Unbeknownst to my dad, my mum had been teaching me the Lord's Prayer. And obviously, this is the prayer that Jesus taught us. So this was a Jesus tortoise. I'm sorry, but that was genuinely my response. And this story has been told many times by my mother to her great amusement. So the point was, my mum had been teaching me the Lord's Prayer as a poem, just in the way that Andrew had been saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And for years, we used to say this prayer before I went to sleep, the prayer that Jesus taught us. So this is a Jesus taught us. There we go. However, we know that the Lord's Prayer is more to us than that, and actually it can help us pray. So kids, what I'm going to ask you is, and maybe I'll ask some of the adults too, what do you pray, or how do you pray when you get to each line of the Lord's Prayer? So, the first line is this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. So what are the ways, what are some of the ways this might help you to pray? And I'm going to come round, and if you've got an answer, you can stick up your hand, and I'm going to come round and get you to talk into the mic. So who wants to help us? How can we pray, may your name be kept holy? Go on.
When we pray, we trust our Father.
We do. That's great. So we need to trust him. Okay, anybody else, any ideas of how we can pray your name be kept holy? Because if we just say it, that's just repeating the words. The idea is this is an aid, a structure to prayer. How else might we pray, your name be kept holy? Any adults? Are you all very quiet this morning? Go on, Jay.
For me, it's about starting with worship, just like Andrew talked about when he was, start with worshiping God for who he is and what he's done, and acknowledging that he is a holy father. So that is, for me, what that first verse is, acknowledging God.
Thank you. That is it. And it is wonderful. And it really does. Starting with praise, this is what the prayer is doing. It's starting with praise. It's starting remembering that our Father is in heaven and he's a holy God. So let's worship him. Exactly what we've been doing this morning. All right. What about the next line then? May your kingdom come soon. Now, one of the things that we've been doing as we've read through Matthew's gospel is understanding Jesus' kingdom that is here now and is still advancing. So may your kingdom come soon is a good thing to pray. And you can see how high it was in Jesus' list of priorities. It's the second line in this prayer. So this really is a way that we can sort of, we can pray this in lots of different ways that we can get practical. Can so anyone think about some ways and maybe some context that we can pray this prayer into? Who wants to raise a hand, shout out? Any kids? Where would you like to see God's kingdom come? Sue.